I want to talk to you this morning about Satan.
I'm going to tell her.
Sir?
I'm going to tell her. I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to tell her.
I ain't talking about your wife now.
Well, okay.
All right. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 2, but first, go on in prayer. Is somebody coming in?
Yeah, Adrian and them just walked.
Will y'all go ahead and join me in prayer, please? Father, we thank you for our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for all our blessings that you've given to us so freely through what Christ did at Calvary. We thank you for the love that you shared to us through his death. And Father, we thank you for the facilities that you provided for us to meet in. And we ask you, Lord, to especially be with those that are sick this morning. We ask you to heal them according to thy will, and let them look to thee for understanding and the things that they're faced with. And Father, we just put our faith and confidence in what you have written and preserved for us in the 1611 King James Bible. We thank you, Lord, for these words that we can trust them. And Father, we ask you this morning to give honor and glory to yourself in the class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
How was the mountains?
They were great.
They what?
Great.
Was it cold?
You know, it really wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Okay, we are in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened. And there's two groups of people here that he's talking about here that he's quickened together with Christ. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in your children of disobedience. Yeah. Well, if you talk about Satan, I believe Satan is a spirit. Okay? Didn't he say the spirit that now worketh in your children of disobedience? Mm-hmm. Take three passages. If you can, take John chapter 13. Let's start in John 13, Acts 16, we'll do it right there for right now, but John 13 and Acts chapter 16, and we'll get the other one in just a minute. I think we can see some things here. And the other passage I'll give you where it's at, but don't turn to it yet, will be 1 Timothy chapter 4, in case I forget. Now, in John 13, now, let's go to verse 18. Let's start in verse 18. I speak not of you all. Well, he's talking to his disciples. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture might be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. In other words, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And you can find that in John chapter 11, that would be Lazarus. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then leaning on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now watch verse 27. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. So I don't believe no man walked inside his body, you understand? I believe this spirit of Satan in him after he took the sup. I know that based on God's foreknowledge that Satan was a spirit, and he can go anywhere he wants, as in Job chapter 1. God said, Job, Satan, where have you been? He said, I've been up and down, to and fro in the earth, seeing whom I can destroy and deceive. And that's what he's doing today. He's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Go to First Acts 16, then we'll go to 1 Timothy 4. Acts 16, y'all know the context. There's a woman there that's been bothering some people. In verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer, certain damsels possessed with the spirit of divination. Now, what is she doing? She's prophesying. She's making money for her masters and all. In other words, after she does some things here, verse 17, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Well, is she telling the truth?
Yes.
Is Paul and Barnabas and Silas, are they the members of the body of Christ? Are they doing the work of the Lord? Yes. Well, she ain't lying, is she?
No.
Would show us the way of salvation. Does she know that Paul has showed them how to be saved?
Yes.
Well, you'd think, man, praise the Lord, hallelujah. No, that ain't what Paul's attitude was. Watch what he does. Verse 18, and this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, do what? Now this woman is preaching the truth. She is proclaiming the truth. And Paul is grieved about it. You know why? He knows she's got an evil spirit in her. Now watch what he does. Verse 18, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. What came out of her? A man? No, a spirit. Spirit of divination. In other words, you see these palm readers all over the country. What are they operating in? Spirit of Satan. You understand? You have no business fooling with them. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. You see, this is why I believe when Paul wrote to us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, he said, put on the armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Well, who is the devil? Well, he's Satan. Who is Satan? He's a serpent. His name is called Leviathan. Beelzebub. Other names he has. The God of this world. Now, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now, the Spirit, now you'll notice that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times, and I believe we're in them. I believe wholeheartedly that when Paul wrote this epistle, he knew that the church, the body of Christ, is being filled up, and we are soon to be raptured out of here. So when the church, the body of Christ, is full, and the only people that are in the church, the body of Christ, are those that trusted Jesus Christ when he died at Calvary, died for all their sins, spiritual baptism into that body, water baptism, repentance, working righteousness, walking the aisle, asking Jesus to come into your heart. I heard a preacher on television this morning, and I won't call his name. A lot of people put a lot of faith in him. See how he got saved. He heard a man preaching about Jesus Christ, and he repented of his sins and prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart and be the Lord of his life. Is that what Paul's gospel said in Romans to Philemon?
No.
Paul said, I received something that I delivered unto you. How that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Is that asking Jesus to come into your heart? Something wrong. What's the matter? It's Satan. It's Satan. He don't want people to see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Look at verse 1 here. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, does the devils have doctrines?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they at?
Religion.
They're in the pulpit. What are they doing? They're speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, it's hard to get through to these people. Now, before we go too far, what is Satan? Take two passages. Take Ezekiel 28 and take Revelation chapter 12. Ezekiel 28, Revelation chapter 12. We're going to have to get another passage in a minute, but we'll get it when time comes. All right, Revelation 12. Let's go there first. And this is about war in heaven. Verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. Brother, that ain't happened yet. And that will not happen until after the rapture of the church. That will happen over in the tribulation. There's war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels. And you can find them in Matthew chapter 25. The devil and his angels, that's who hell is prepared for. And prevail not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon, y'all know who the dragon is?
Satan. Antichrist.
Let me show you. You see, there's a teaching going around that Leviathan is a sea creature. Let me show you who a Leviathan is. And go to, hold your places that you got, go to Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah chapter 27. You see, you wouldn't teach things like this to a group of people that don't understand their Bible. This is something that they wouldn't understand. They'd just go right to the top of their head and that'd be the end of it. They'd say, well, what in the world went on there this morning? That man lost his mind. Well, I ain't got none to lose, thank you. So don't tell somebody I lost my mind because I ain't got nothing to lose. In chapter 27, verse 1, Isaiah 27, verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent. Is Leviathan a serpent?
Yes.
Even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. And he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. Go back to Revelation. Hold Ezekiel 28. You can drop Isaiah. Go to Revelation 12, verse 9. That great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Well, who is the spirit that's working in the children of disobedience now? Satan. What's he doing? He's taking the word of God and making it of none effect. He's casting doubt on it. He's changing a little word here and a little word there, which changes the whole meaning of God Almighty. And beloved, I don't know what you think about what Jesus Christ said when it's completed, when God Almighty worked 6 days back here, and on the seventh day he rested. You'll have all the scriptures that are complete. He did it in 6 days. He completed it, and on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. You can find that in Genesis chapter 1. And you know who the devil is? He's one of God's created beings. God created him so. Now, go back to Ezekiel 28, and take Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. And Ezekiel 28, verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus. Y'all know who this prince is? Can y'all hold your places that you got and give another?
Yeah.
Take John chapter 14. Jesus Christ will identify him for you.
Isaiah 14?
John
14.
14. You hold in Isaiah 14. We're going to go there in just a minute. You'll have Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Now you'll have John 14 and Isaiah 14. Now in Isaiah, we're going to go back in just a minute. Now in John 14, he's dealing with his disciples. He's telling them about going away and coming back. Verse 28, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. Well, he came to his own. Who's he coming to again? Jesus Christ.
His own.
Coming to his own, ain't he?
Yeah.
Now, if you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. Well, who is the prince of this world?
Satan.
First, in Ephesians 2, verse 2, the prince of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. What are they doing? They're speaking lies. There are so many lies in the name of God this morning that if I was God, I'd zap the thing out right now. I'd send a bolt of lightning down here and just burn the mess down. But I ain't. So I'm glad he didn't leave it up to me, because I'd have had to kill myself years ago first. Now, go back to Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. Alright, so I know in John 14:30, Jesus Christ said, the prince of this world coming. And by the way, you can find him also in the book of Daniel chapter 9. Now, this prince, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now in Ezekiel 28 verse 1, the word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas. Well, there's Leviathan, you understand? He's talking about Satan. Yet thou art a man. Is Satan a man?
Yes.
And not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse, it's hard to break into the context, but let's go to verse 4. That thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Well, I know who controls the king of Babylon. You know, I know who's controlling this world today. Satan is.
Yep.
He's the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, verse 4, that thou take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that rules the nations in anger is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Well, brother, that ain't happened yet. You know that?
No.
Hold your place you got and go to Revelations chapter 20. Go to Revelations chapter 20. You see, that's why I know that when Jesus Christ told the apostles in Matthew 28, I have received all power, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And that would take place over here right before the second coming. In other words, that will take place after the second coming when he sets up his thousand-year millennial reign. Those apostles that he trained, they will go into the nations and teach the nations what he commanded them back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sell out everything you got. Be like the birds and the lilies. I'll take care of you. I'll feed you. I'll lead you into fountains of living water. So forth and so on. Now, that can't happen while we're here. You know why? Satan's a god of this world. And it won't happen as long as the body of Christ is here, because that won't happen until after the tribulation over here, after the thousand-year millennial reign is set up. Then they will go to the Gentile nations that blessed the seed of Abraham during the time of Jacob's trouble over here. Matthew 25, and he explains that to them. Now, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven. And you know, I keep saying over and over and over, and I don't think people paid nary bit attention to it. There are no angels in this dispensation here. We do not have angels. We have the completed Word of God. I don't need no angel. Paul told me, though we are an angel, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. You know what he said in the next verse? He said, though we are an angel from heaven. He said, and also, if any, what?
Man.
Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. Are there men preaching another gospel this morning that didn't get it from Paul? Well, certainly they are. Most every church door this morning is open and full, and they're preaching Satan's message to them. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. That's Joel Osteen's famous saying. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with that, but how are you going to do it? You know what God Almighty told Israel? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, and all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And you can't do it, and I can't do it.
No.
Every thought of your working day has got to be on the God, on the Lord. That you think only on God all day long?
No.
No, you don't. If you do, you're lying. Revelation said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, have the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on that dragon. Well, there he is. Revelation 12, verse 9. That old serpent. You know where the serpent was? Where did you first see the serpent in the King James Bible?
Eden.
In the Garden of Eden. I'm going to show you that in just a minute, who that was. It was a man. It wasn't no snake on his belly. Which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Is Satan going to be bound someday 1,000 years?
Yes.
I've received all power. Matthew 28, Baptist marching orders. Go ye therefore, teach all nations. What nations are they going to teach over here?
All nations.
Gentile nations. Deuteronomy 32 said Israel will not be reckoned among the nations. Peter said he hath begotten us again, 1 Peter. He begot them back here. They forsook him. They went and served Baal. God divorced them. Now they are Lo-Am now, not God's people. We'll be raptured out, the church, the body of Christ. Then God will deal with his people again over here in wrath, according to Luke 21. Wrath upon this people. Not this people. We're not appointed unto wrath. So you can just wipe old Van Ampy off the map. Hagee,
yes.
He can go by the wayside.
Absolutely.
Is Satan going to be bound 1,000 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
And after that, you know what? And you know, that's what fascinates me. Here the Lord rules with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. And you get out of line over here, you know what happens to the rod? After that, total peace in the kingdom. Satan's going to be loosed right back to doing what?
Deceiving.
Look at it while we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out and do what?
Deceive.
Deceive the nations. Do y'all believe that Eve was deceived?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Beguiled.
You know who deceived Eve? That hissing snake? No. The devil. Go back to Genesis and take Genesis chapter 2. Hold Isaiah. We're going to get back there in just a minute. Give me a minute. We may have to go to Genesis 1 and 3, but we'll do it and go then we got to do here. Now, we're going to chapter 2 in this verse 1, and what I want to show you is the heavens. Because in the original creation, God created one heaven. In the recreation, in the 6-day recreation, He created the heavens. And you know what Satan does with his new books, don't you? In Genesis 1:1, he puts, in the beginning, God created the heavens. No, He did not. He created the heaven. All He did is added a little S. Well, you know, it's okay. You know, we understand. No, some unlearned person pick it up. He ain't got any idea what he's talking about. You see, leave God's word alone. It's just like in Acts 3:19, repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What did Satan do to that verse? Change wind to sow. Repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. So the times of refreshing. You know what it does? It makes it conditional. Well, it ain't conditional, beloved. When the body falls, the rapture takes place, God will deal with Israel in the tribulation. And whether they repent or not, it makes no difference. Times of refreshing are going to come from the presence of the Lord in His due time. Now, Genesis chapter 1 verse, excuse me, chapter 2 verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made, and He blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Did God make it in 7 days?
No, He made it 6.
You ain't listening.
Made it in 6.
Did He make it in 7 days?
Made it in six days.
You know what the number 6 is?
Number of man.
Number of man. You know what Satan's number is in the book of Revelation 13? The number of the beast is 666. The little fella knows what 6 is. Held up 5 on one hand and 1 on the other. I was going to do it this way, but I can't hold up 5 on this one. I ain't got 5. These kids learn a whole lot faster than I did when I was that age. I know nothing about nothing but eating dirt and all kinds of stuff. Better be careful. Now, Genesis 3, verse 1. Now, listen to me. Remember the creation, the recreation, okay? Satan was created in the first creation. Not in the second, 6-day recreation. Satan was there from the beginning, the first creation. I'm going to show you that in just a second. Now, in Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent. Well, you know, when everybody sees that word serpent, they see a snake.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's why Cleopatra had all them snakes that she dealt with. After I retired from Scott Paper, we used to unload Dodges off a ship for Premier Stevedoring Company out of Pensacola. We unloaded them here at the state docks. David Mellon, when we were down there. The union didn't like us down there because we were a bunch of non-union people. But anyway, Robert Cochran, his brother-in-law, I think that man's his brother-in-law, son-in-law or something, son-in-law, married to Robert's daughter, Susie. Well, anyway, he got us the job down there. A bunch of us retired people from Scott drove them. There was about 450 Dodges that we drove off of the truck, a ship, and put Fords back on, and they'd send them back to Mexico. We did that quite a while down there, and I don't know what that's got to do with this lesson right here. But anyway, there was a lot of controversy about Satan and stuff while we were talking to different ones down there and all about this thing. And most folks, when they see the word serpent, think about a snake. And the one of the fellows down there that was working for that stevedore company as a permanent employee was bald-headed, and I forget his name. He'd come to work with one of them dead blame bulls or whatever you call them, wrapped around his neck. And I told him, I said, don't get nowhere near me because I don't fool with snakes. The only kind of snake I like, and I don't care if it's poison or friendly, I don't like them unless they're dead.
Yeah.
But he'd come to work with one of them things around, hanging around the neck, big old snake. Well, anyway, this serpent here, we've already seen, ain't a snake, didn't we? It's a man. Now, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle. You know what subtle is, don't you? Under. Sub. Under. Than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea. Now he's going to put doubt on this woman here. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now Eve's going to lie a little bit right here. It ain't much. But it's just, you know, it's just a little bit. Just a little white lie. It really ain't going to hurt nothing, is it? Well, when you're preaching in the name of God and teaching in the name of God, don't put no lie in it. Do it right or don't do it. Get out of the way. Let somebody do it that's going to do it right. Now, verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. God never said they couldn't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. He never said they couldn't touch it. You know what tree is in the midst of the garden? Look at chapter 2, verse 17. Well, let's go to verse 16. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest fully eat. Did he say you could eat of every tree?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did he say that they can't eat it?
Yes.
What tree?
Tree of knowledge.
Tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, what about the tree in the midst of the garden that Eve said we can't eat of it? Amen. Go back to verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, good for food. Now watch what he says. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, comma, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What tree is in the midst of the garden? The tree of life. Well, what did Eve say? Go back to chapter 3. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. He didn't say they couldn't eat of the tree of the midst of the garden. He said you couldn't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. Now what does Satan tell them? Watch what he says here. And this is what's being preached in your churches around this world today. This is exactly what Satan has got in mind. And I know a man, Johnny Boatwright, and I don't mind calling his name. The last time me and my wife met him, his wife was sick. She has since died. Merle died. I told him, I said, Johnny, we'll pray for you and your wife. He said, don't pray for me. I said, what do you mean, Johnny? He said, well, I've done figured this thing out. I am my own God. That is what Satan is teaching people today. Look what he tells Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know in the day that you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods. Little g. You understand? Angels are gods. The devil has gods. Beloved, where are they at? Thank you for asking. Hold Isaiah and go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Hold Isaiah. Go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Beloved, Satan ain't asleep. He's much awake. He's much alive today. He is not bound in the bottomless pit today. He will be after the rapture of the church and after the tribulation for 1,000 years. And after that, it just blows my mind that he... Well, it shouldn't. You know, history repeats itself.
Absolutely.
Here's old Adam back here in a perfect environment. Everything just give to him. He ain't got to go punch no clock. He ain't got to go to work. God's provided everything for him in a peaceful, serene area. All the animals eating straw together. Can't you see the ark? I don't believe Noah had to go out with a net and traps and trap all them animals to get them in that ark. You know, like Frank Buck, bring them back alive. The Spirit of God entered into them animals. They knew they had to go over there and get in that boat with Noah. You know what Noah provided for them to eat? Did he provide animals for the lions and the tigers to eat while they...
No.
You know what they did? They ate straw. They ate straw. That's the way it's going to be over here. And after that, they're going to rebel again. After Noah got out, they rebelled again.
Yep.
Peace. There's Adam in the Garden of Eden, perfect. In any respect of life, he's perfect. No sickness. No death. Ain't never going to die. Going to live forever. In a perfect environment, and Satan tricked them. And you know what Adam did? He went and hid himself because he saw he was naked. And God said, Adam, how come you hide? And said, if you eat of that tree, I told you you couldn't eat of. He said, well, God, you know that old woman you gave me, boy, I'm telling you, she just... And I would say something here right now, but it might offend the whole stinking crowd in here, and I won't say it, but I know what happened. I've got to get that out of my mind. Adam said, God, that woman you gave me, she tricked me. And I did eat of it. You know what the woman said? Says Satan made me do it, God.
Yeah.
You know what's happening today?
The devil made me do it.
The devil made me do it. somebody else may. It wasn't me. It was their fault. I mean, I didn't mean to do it. They showed three young men on TV and broke into a house and killed a man. Or one of them got killed. I forget how it was. One of the intruders got killed. The homeowner shot and killed him. All three of them been sentenced. 17, 18 year old youngins. Been sentenced to 55 years in prison. Mm. You know what one of them said? Said, if I'd have known that man wasn't in there, I wouldn't have went. Well, why are you going in there to start with? That ain't your house.
Yeah.
Stay out of there. Somebody else made them do it. Satan. Adam said the woman made me do it, and the woman said the devil made me do it, and we've been doing it ever since. Somebody else made me do it. No, you did it your own self. You come to class this morning because you wanted to be here. And if you didn't come to class this morning, you didn't come because you didn't want to come. Didn't nobody make you. Satan didn't say, don't you get in that car. You came because you wanted to. Now, you may regret coming after you leave, but you came because you wanted to. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. For I fear, at least by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. In other words, sub. You know why they call a submarine a submarine? You know what marine is, don't you? Water life. You know what a sub is, don't you? You don't have to have somebody tell you. Submarine is underwater. A ship go underwater, it's sunk. A sub is built to go underwater. Satan deceives subtlety. That's the way you pronounce the word. Subtlety. Underhanded tactics. Change a word here, add a word there. Put a doubt here, put a doubt there, little here, there a little. Does that remind you of something in Isaiah 28? Yeah. Well, how do we learn the Word of God? By precept, upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28, check it out. You know how faith cometh? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. Well, do you get faith by hearing the Word of Satan?
No.
No, no, no. You get faith by the hearing the Word of God. And if they preach it, and they ain't, I don't know one on TV now, other than if Brother Moore's still coming on, because I don't get to see him. I'm up here. But they, I believe he's the only one on TV now that still uses a 1611 King James Bible. Now, some of them will read out of it, and then they say, well, you know, this translation says this. Well, why do you want to fool with Satan's translation?
Amen.
Are you scared to preach the Word of God out of a 1611 King James Bible? Well, we don't talk like that no more. You don't. God Almighty did.
Absolutely.
Good for God, good for me. Verse 3, but I fear, at least by any means, that a servant of God lead through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he, a man, any man preach any other gospel, if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we receive another spirit, and be the spirit of disobedience, which you have not received, or another gospel. How many gospels are there in Romans to Philemon? Ain't but one. How many gospels are being preached in this dispensation we now live in? Lord, I don't know how many there are. I'll be scared to try to count them. There's a program on TV, and I don't watch it. The Fellowship of Jews and Christians. And so many people still believe that if you don't bless the seed of Abraham, God won't bless you. When that is a bald-faced lie from Satan.
Amen.
God has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings outside the covenant of promise. That's why Paul became a prisoner for the rest of his life, for saying that I'm going to go to them low down Gentiles that did not bless the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
Watch what he says. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus whom you have not received, or whom we have not preached, or if receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel. And you know the words, when Paul preached in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, this is the gospel by which I also received. You understand? Now, watch what he says here. Which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. In other words, don't give in to him. Bear up to it. Put on the armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils over here. And beloved, they are all over.
Yes, sir.
Now verse, come down to verse 13. These people that do that, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And I can see it right now today in my mind when I walked on that Methodist church down there on Dolphin Island Parkway one Thanksgiving. They had all the churches come together down there for a fellowship. I went one time, saw what it was, and I said, Lord, I won't never be back here no more, not for this. I walked up on them steps and there's a fellow with a white collar turned around back and with a black robe. Y'all know what he was? He was a Catholic. When I walked up on that step by him, he grinned and it's like an old dog that his teeth come together and his lips rear up and he's fixing to bite you. I don't even know that fellow. As far as I know, he didn't know me. You know what it was? An evil spirit in that dude. I looked back at him and I went right on in the door and I said, Lord, I'll never be back down here again. That was the South Brooklyn Fellowship. Grace Preachers. Well, one. I don't remember if Art was there or not. I don't think he was there. But that was that Baptist, Methodist, Catholics. My buddy, some of his people was there from that Church of Christ. Church down the parkway before you get to Dolphin Island Bridge down there. I didn't go back. One of these people, verse 13, such a false apostle, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Oh, he looks real good. He sounds, he's real religious. He won't kick the cat. He won't talk to the bad people. He won't go into the bars. He won't drink a beer. He won't eat this. Won't do that. Oh, he's a good Christian. But you know what he's doing? He's lying the whole time to telling people how to be saved. Now, go back to Isaiah 14 where you're holding it. Go to verse, we started in verse 4. Go to verse 8. Yea, the fir tree rejoices at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller. And he's talking about somebody with an axe cutting the trees down, you understand? He ain't talking about a fella like that fella going down the road there. He's talking about cutting trees down. No fella has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Well, where's Satan's final day going to be? In hell. The last enemy, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Why did death enter into the world? Because of Adam's disobedience. Because Satan brought death. He tricked Eve. Eve tricked her husband. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, what does a sinner need? Needs a Savior. Sinner needs a Savior. Now watch what he says there. Verse 9, hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave. The noise of thy vows, the worm is spread unto thee. The worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Well, Lucifer means light. And y'all know my teaching on Genesis chapter 1. God hath made two lights. A greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. Son of morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nation? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? Now, that thing goes on and on and on. Go back to Ezekiel 28. Go back to Ezekiel chapter 28. Let's look at this character. In Ezekiel chapter 28, let's go to verse 11. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the son full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Well, I know who the king of Tyrus is. It's Satan. Operating in a man. Verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. There's the serpent back there in the garden. Every precious stone was I covering. And I suspect that's what tricked old Eve. I suspect old Adam looked like an old rough woolly bugger running out wild in the woods, and there's that beautiful man over there with all this pretty clothes, diamonds, and all kind of jewels and all, and I suspect Eve said, look at that, what I got, look at this, what I can have. I suspect that's what happened to him. Watch out, women. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone thou covered, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Pay attention to your music that you're listening to. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. In other words, he covered God's word. He is the Most High cherub that guarded God's word. You know what happened to him? Pride got him. I'm going to exalt my throne above God. I'm going to sit in the seat of God. He just had a little too much wisdom. Now watch what happens. Was Satan created?
Yes.
Ain't that what he said in the last part of verse 13? Look at it. in the pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. In other words, when Moses, Jesus Christ took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain of transfiguration, Satan was there too. He was back here in the garden. He was on the mountain of God when Moses went up there. He's there. I mean, he's just... You know what James said over here in the book of James chapter 4? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That ain't what Paul told us. Paul told us to put on the armor of God that we can withstand the wiles of the devil. Where are the wiles of the devil at? They're in the pulpits. They got the lines there turning a piece of bread. I thought about this the other day. I watch television on things, how it's made. Yeah. And they showed the other day how they made this holy bread. These wafers. And I'm thinking, now they're going to give that to some dude with a back of collar and a long robe, and he's going to stand there and hold it up and look at it, and he's going to turn that into the actual body of Jesus Christ. My foot. Hogwash. And if you don't get this wafer on your tongue, this lady knows what I'm talking about. If you don't put this wafer on your tongue, you won't have Christ in you. And if you miss next Sunday, you're going to have to do some repentance. Church, Christ, same way. I knew a man in a wheelchair had a stroke. He didn't even know he was in the world. Somebody from his church come across the road where he lived, across the road from me, and I tried to show him the truth of the Word of God, and he rejected it. They would come every Sunday and put that wafer so he'd have Christ in. What a joke. What a joke. Satan is deceiving people, beloved. Your family, your loved ones, your mamas, your daddies, your aunts and your uncles, your kids. Well, who cares? Verse 16. Well, I apologize. I'm going to go back to verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. You know what his iniquity was? Trafficking. He trafficked in gossip. He told them angels, come follow me. I'm gonna set my throne above the throne of God. So they're fallen angels. They're reserved somewhere against the day of judgment over here. And the day of judgment, they're going to be cast into the bottomless pit where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. The worm is going to eat him up, but he ain't never going to be gone. He's going to have an eternal body that can withstand down there and won't just be destroyed as the bush was back here that Moses saw. And it's going to be torment day and night. Y'all study Mark chapter 9 about where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. My time's gone this morning. I appreciate yours. Been good to see you. Appreciate you being here. Lord willing, see you next Sunday.